Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hello, welcome to Top Stories. I am Andy Zaltzman, and guess what we're doing today? You're right, we're giving you the top story from a previous episode of The Bugle. Today we're going back not one, not two, but 11 years to February 2012 and issue 181 of the audio newspaper. The Syrian civil war reached a grim level of violence, and just 10 months after it all began, the UN leapt into action. Here I am once again with John Oliver.
Top story this week, Syria story time. Are you shifting uncomfortably? Then I'll begin. Now, you may not have heard much from Syria in the news over the last few weeks, but don't be mistaken. That's not because there's nothing happening there. It's just that it's too f***ing dangerous for journalists to be there at the moment. It's basically the opposite of nothing happening. Everything seems to be happening there as the international community desperately tries to look the other way and turns up some music to try and drown out any of the bangs coming from Damascus. But there may not be enough sand in the world for us to put our heads in for much longer. The story so far is this. Last March, when the Arab Spring started boinging around the region excitedly, people in Syria started looking around and saying to each other, hey, this Assad guy that we've been living under for over a decade, does anyone else think he might be a bit of a dick? Then diving for cover as bullets started whizzing past their ears. The UN estimates that more than 5,400 people have been killed since the unrest began, with more than 100 this last Monday and 37 more last Tuesday alone. Human rights groups say that more than 7,000 people have actually been killed, and the UN replied by saying they actually stopped counting in January, explaining it was too difficult to confirm. They might be confusing the word difficult with the word depressing there, Andy, but they'd be right either way. And that is a bad sign. When the UN stop counting the number of people being killed in your country, you, at the very least, are going to have a house price problem. That is the best of your many substantial and immediate problems.
A lot of problems in terms of the international community's response to the Syrian problem. The fact that Russia does not want to annoy Assad. They don't want to force Assad to do the decent thing and take a bit of a break from treating his own country like an unwanted Christmas gerbil. And the reason for this, John, is perhaps slightly influenced by having $4 billion worth of arms contracts on the go with Syria. Now, John, as any good businessman will tell you, when you have a valued customer like that, you have to treat them with respect. If they're having a little bit of trouble, you cut them some slack, whether that trouble is in their personal life or financial trouble or having a mass rebellion to deal with and 7,000 civilian death to explain. The customer is always right, John, particularly when that customer buys 10% of your global arms exports.
Yeah, that is basically the Russians response, the customer is always right. And with the rate at which Syria is using weapons against itself, it's literally become a boom industry for the Ruskies. Now, you might think, well, hold on. Are the Russians not directly in contravention of the arms embargo to Syria, to which the Russians would say two things? One, shut the f*** up. Who asked you to open your f***ing face? And two, they would argue, as they are, that they're simply fulfilling existing contracts, not signing any new ones. See, Andy, they're just respecting contractual law. They're just protecting their eBay seller rating. They don't want Syria to give them a bad review and mess up their blemishless five-star average. They don't want to read Syria writing online, "Very disappointing service. We had an agreement for $550 million of fighter jets, but at the last minute, they refused to deliver them, citing some bullshit about what I might use them for. Not recommended. Avoid at all costs."
Thus far, the international community's response to Syria has been as decisive and dogmatic as a dog's response when asked to play snooker. Confused, not fully understanding what it's supposed to be doing, held back by logistical concerns, but prepared to pose for pictures to make it look like it's actually doing something.
On Saturday, the Arab League announced that it was suspending its month-old monitoring mission inside Syria because it was getting too dangerous. And again, Andy, that's not good. When an organisation whose only job is to monitor violence flees the country because it got too violent, you may want to consider cooling it the f*** down a bit. The UN, thankfully, as you mentioned, has stepped up with its normal speed and has leapt straight into action a mere 10 months after the trouble started and has decided to act decisively by talking about what they might do, hypothetically, if their talking proves successful. So don't worry, Syria, help is on its way, because when the UN starts talking, they can get things done at the speed of light. The speed of very slow, painfully dim light.
The Russian ambassador has described the United Nations negotiations as a roller coaster. In other words, it ended up exactly where it started after lots of high-pitched shouting, at the end of which everyone felt a bit sick. And the sticking point was whether the council should fully support the Arab plan to basically encourage Assad to step aside, or whether they should simply note it. And Western states wanted to fully support it. Russia wanted to just note it. So, good one, Russia. Noting stuff has a f***ing illustrious history of stopping mass violence, as Churchill would testify.
We will note them on the beaches. We will note them in the hills. We will note them on the notepads and the noteboards. And we will never, ever stop noting stuff. We may start doodling if our mind gets distracted a bit.
The Security Council has been negotiating a resolution all week and has been unable to come to an agreement. The wording of the statement has already been heavily watered down in an attempt to overcome these Russian objections. Russia does not like the resolution's proposed threat of, and I quote, further measures if Syria does not comply with demands. I guess further measures just wasn't vague enough for the Russians, Andy. They somehow wanted even less semantic specifics. Maybe they need to come up with a brand new word in the English language that is completely devoid of any meaning whatsoever. The Russian UN envoy said, "We hope that the council will come to consensus on the Syria issue, as it is not only possible, but also necessary." Except the problem was that China then objected to that statement, saying that possible and necessary were far too strong to use as words, and that plausible and nice would be better. A consensus would be plausible and nice. Something watered down so much that at that point you're literally just drinking water. In fact, the new proposed text that still has no agreement drops any explicit calls for President Assad to yield powers whatsoever. In fact, the wording that they've agreed on so far is this: "People of Syria, we want to help you, but we can't. Except we can, but we won't. But we'd like to, but not really. We just need to reach an agreement, which we will, except we won't, because we can't. Except we could, but we don't want to. Except part of us does. It's complicated, apart from the fact that it isn't. But don't worry, except do, because things are terrible. Except they'll be fine, apart from the fact that they won't be. But it's okay, because it's not too bad. Except it is."
The previous wording of the proposed resolution supported a transition to, and I quote, a democracy, a plural political system in which citizens are equal regardless of their affiliations or ethnicities or beliefs. And amongst the co-sponsors of this proposed resolution were Saudi Arabia, where the word citizen means not a woman, and where citizens are equal provided that their affiliations not include being affiliated to ovaries, their ethnicity does not involve coming from ladyland, and their beliefs do not involve believing that it is perfectly acceptable to have two X chromosomes. So, that's the wonderful world of international politics. The British ambassador to the United Nations said, "It is glaringly obvious that transferring weapons into a volatile and violent situation is irresponsible and will only fuel the bloodshed," before turning to his research assistant and saying, "Now, are you absolutely sure that we, Britain, have never done anything like that? Never? Good, because the last thing I want to be called is a hypocrite. Hang on, what are those people shouting at me? Do I have a chucking hippo kit? Well, I've got a big catapult. Will that do?" Thank you once again to The Past for helping out with that show. I know what you're thinking. I also want to listen to a newer episode of The Bugle from The World As It Is Now. Well, I'm not stopping you. It's available as we speak out there in the ether or the internet.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.